You are listening to the Julie Parker Practice of Success podcast, where you discover management insights and strategies for your successful dental practice. There are also interviews with key people in the industry who have advice and services to help you and your team achieve great success. Welcome to this episode of the Julie Parker Practice Success Podcast. And my guest today, I'm pretty damn excited about. I read about her story in one of the local Bite magazines by John Burfitt, fantastic journalist. And I would like to welcome Tanya Deacon to the show. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Tanya, you are a OHT dental hygienist.
Dental hygienist, yes.
Dental hygienist. And you saw a particular need within your work with your patients. And so you thought the best thing to do would be to write a book. Tell us about Mouth Monster and how it kind of came about. This is such a beautiful, innovative, creative way of addressing an issue.
Thank you very much. I work in a pediatric specialist here in Newcastle. So all I see is kids. There are countless wonderful books on the market for sort of preschool-aged kids, so that little bit of younger demographic, but not a lot for that school-aged, so the sort of 6 to even up to 12 or 13 age bracket. They seem to miss out on being reminded in book form about how important brushing and flossing and going to the dentist is. So that's where Mouth Monster came from.
And there it is. Hold it up for people who can see us on YouTube. Mouth Monster by Tanya Deacon. What a glorious, glorious thing. So this is an interesting space. So within your work, tell us a little bit, first of all, how you came to become a dental hygienist and what your career's been like so far.
Yeah, certainly. So I've got a little bit of an unconventional start, if you want to think about it that way. Previous to hygiene, I was actually a veterinary nurse and decided that I needed something different. I really enjoyed the health aspect and wanted to stick in that genre, but thought to try something a little bit different. My boss at the time, his wife worked at the Newcastle University, and she recommended a newer course that had only, I think it had only started the year previous or the 2 years previous. And so I applied, thought I'll give it a try and see what happens. And then nearly 15 years later, here we are.
Fantastic. I wonder if you're finding animals or human beings more compliant.
I still get bitten sometimes, so.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so during your journey with hygiene, have you sat at the one practice for a long, long time? Have you gone through different practices? Tell us a little bit about your experience with that.
Certainly. So I started in general here in the Newcastle and Hunter area. I've made my mark on a couple of practices around the place. And then I had the opportunity to spend some time in Darwin and work in a general practice up there for a couple of years. Came back to Newcastle, did a couple more years in general, and then got the opportunity to move into specialty.
And so you're in a pediatric clinic, Kids Smile, I think the name of the pediatric clinic is.
That's correct.
New South Wales. And so your whole patient base that you see on a regular basis now is kids.
Correct. Yes. All day, every day.
All day, every day. Again, 6 to 12-year-old is where this book is, who this book is aimed for. And 6 to 12-year-old, they're not all that compliant all the time with their oral hygiene.
That is very true. I mean, granted, we have some kids that are just spot on and doing all the right things and have mum and dad helping them out. And obviously life gets in the way, things happen, they get some attitude, and then sometimes our oral health falls to the wayside. So that's where I'm hoping something extra, something different can help motivate them back into looking after themselves.
I love it, because the usual thing we do, I imagine, with you yourself, certainly the dentist that I've worked with in the past over all the years, it's just reiterating the same instruction over and again every few months to the child. And remember, you've got a brush, and here's some disclosing tablets. And so you were mm-hmm. finding that that message doesn't necessarily get through to a lot of kids.
That's exactly right. And as we all know, being in the dental chair, it can be very disempowering. It can be a nervous experience. So kids will sometimes not be able to take in the message that you're sending because they're too busy trying to get through the appointment. And so having something at home that they can read in the comfort of their own bedroom, talking about oral health in a fun way, will hopefully get through that barrier and help them to recognise how important oral health is.
And so that brings us to Owen and reading the details about this book. It's just so brilliant. So it's more of a fantasy novel, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, and that's what I was hoping to go for. So my daughter, she helped me to sort of nut out what sort of things that she might be interested in when reading the book. And so that really helped to shape how the story came about.
And so tell us about what the story is.
Yeah, so Owen is our typical, as I said, 6 to 12-year-old boy. Girls also aren't always great at oral health, but we know sometimes boys need a little extra help as well. And so he's not really interested when he goes to the dentist. He just sits in the chair and opens his mouth, but again, doesn't really take the message in. We have our superstar hygienist, Melanie, who tries her best to coach him back into looking after his teeth better. And she warns him that if he doesn't follow her instructions, that something disastrous might happen. And then we follow his adventure to get his way back from where he ends up.
Just so good. I just love it. I keep bringing myself back to that space of you saw that things weren't working the way they were, and so you became really quite creative in the development of a story instead. Have you, where did you get the inspiration of doing the book, or did it just kind of occur to you that this might be a way to go?
I'd had a fantasy, if you like, in the back of my mind that, wouldn't it be great to one day write a book about something? Like, it wasn't necessarily oral hygiene. It was just, it'd be great to have my name on something, a legacy, if you like. And then, as I said, spending more and more time with kids and having to have those struggles and those conversations with them to try and get them back into morning and night brushing and even start the conversation on flossing, I thought this could be it. This could be the thing that I do that helps, even in a small part, to get kids back into looking after their teeth.
I love it. And with the kids that have read the book, what's been their feedback around it? What sort of response have you been getting?
So we do sell it through KidSmile as well. And so a few copies have wandered out the door. The only real feedback I've gotten so far is that it's missing ninjas. So if there is going to be a sequel of any kind, then I feel that I'll need to put ninjas in there somewhere.
That is awesome. That could be the need for mouthguard wearing during sport, the ninja.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Getting kicked in the face and everything. And so you are kind of using it within your work with kids now, are you?
Yeah, definitely. So we promote it on our Facebook and we have it displayed in the front offices in both of our practices as well.
Tremendous, tremendous. And you could really kind of hone in on those kids that are not just getting that message. Like, as you said before, there is a section of your kids, mainly little girls, because we're such good little girls, take instruction. This is how you're supposed to maintain your oral hygiene. But sometimes some of the boys aren't as good. When you've got one that's just not getting it, is it something that you are suggesting to the parents? We've got this book. It could be really helpful. It's sitting there at the front desk if you wanted to purchase a copy.
I generally not try to push it too hard because obviously I'm a little bit biased. But our wonderful reception staff bring it up to the patients on a regular basis. So, yes, I love them for that.
That is so good. And so this book is freely available to anyone to purchase. Dental yes. practices can, you know, if they've got a family-based practice and they are finding that transition of behaviour really challenging, because let's face it, 6 to 12-year-olds, that's not what they're all about. They're not all about just taking our advice on everything.
Absolutely not.
I never do that. And so they can buy it and have it at their dental practices. They could even have, you know, giveaways and raffles and all the other things, or sell it at their reception area to really help those young kids, because the impact isn't just their oral hygiene today. We're setting up lifelong habits here.
Absolutely. And not just oral health, general health as well, because as we know, it's all connected. So looking after ourselves in our early life sets us up for a healthier adult life as well.
Yeah, and it's just so tough to break bad habits when we're an adult. It's so hard
Absolutely.
To shift out of that.
Absolutely. And we're all guilty of that.
Yeah, and I did have that thought that, you know, are you going to be doing other books in this series, such as then the importance of diet and the importance of exercise and the importance of being happy?
Yeah. Well, the possibilities are endless, really.
Yeah, that's it.
But yes, I have had a few colleagues of mine that work in more special needs that have inquired that there might be a need for a sequel, maybe with Owen, maybe without, that focuses more on the special needs experience in the dentist as well. So who knows?
And this is the thing, we're getting, you know, higher rates of ADHD and ADD and autism, all the things that can impact a child being able to maintain their own oral health.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, you had mentioned before, the impact of the parents really facilitating that and coaching and guiding and doing it for them if they're not doing it well enough. How much of that is an issue with the kids that are coming through? Are they being really well supported enough by the parents?
As I said, there's so many parents out there that are just doing their best, and unfortunately sometimes brushing is not high on the priority list. And look, I'm a realist. I can completely understand that. And some days some tasks are difficult for me to do as well. But helping them as much as possible and giving them tips and making it that little bit easier for them as well is really important.
And I suppose that's part of what that book might do as well. I haven't read the book myself, and I'm going to get a copy so I can read it and speak more intelligently about it when I speak to other dental practices, because I think it's such a great thing, a great way of approaching this particular issue. And that is, it gives the parents possibly a different frame and more information on how to kind of educate their own kids as well and make sure that's happening.
Absolutely. So with even in the book, there is a guide for brushing and flossing. So there's no missing out for anybody. It's right there within the pages.
That is awesome. So you've never written a book before?
Nope.
I imagine this is your first book.
Yes, that's correct.
What's that journey been like? Your first baby. That's it.
My first baby. It was a lengthy process. And I felt for a long time that I would probably end up having to self-publish and run the whole process myself. So it started off, obviously, as a draft, just sort of going back and forth, writing a little bit, coming back, leaving it for a while, fiddling with it, having colleagues look at it and give me suggestions on things. And then finally, this was probably 6 months to a year of fiddling with it. And then finally I thought, well, look, I'll give it a try and send it out to the universe and see what happens. So I particularly looked for publishers who had online submissions because obviously the submission process is tricky and a lot of publishers in the given financial circumstances that we're all in at the moment are not accepting new publications. So an online submission was the best option. And I sent out probably 10 to the ones that I could find. And again, it took another probably 6-7 months of not hearing anything. And as I said, I was on the verge of, right, I'm going to have to start looking into how in the world I self-publish and self-promote and all that sort of stuff. And there was an email sitting in my inbox saying that we'd like to offer you a contract.
Yay!
It's very exciting.
Because that's the thing. I mean, once you write a book, it seems like it, with it being such a difficult, challenging thing to do, even more challenging is then going out there and selling it. If you have to be self-published and doing all your self-promotion and getting the word
exactly.
out there, it's such a hard yard to take.
Yes, yeah. And again, as I said, with the financial situation the way that it is, it's difficult for families to find that little bit of extra to spend on things like this. So yeah, I need all the help I can get, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see it going out in primary schools as well as one of the reading of the books on the reading list.
I that would make me the happiest person ever. Libraries, schools, yes, everywhere.
Yeah, actually, there's one piece of advice I've got. It's a hint that I picked up somewhere. I can't remember where. But if a library gets a request, I think twice or three times of the same book, their system is just to buy that book in.
Interesting. Okay.
So all your friends are out there at all their local libraries putting in a few requests for this book and they'll make sure they have to order it in.
I will definitely get onto that. Thank you.
When was it actually published? When was it made available to the public?
Yeah, so that was November of last year. It was available. We're still working on the e-version. That's still in the works, but that will be available sometime in the future. But yes, the hard copy landed in November of 2023.
Fantastic. And how have sales been so far? I don't even know what you'd expect.
Yeah, I through the publishing company, so we get a 12-month statement on things because obviously, again, they've got a multitude of publishers and books and all sorts of things. So they stick to their yearly publication to let us know how things are going. As I said, I know for myself, I've sold a couple of copies through KidSmile. So it's started at least.
That's it. That's it. It's out there and it's doing its own thing and it will become whatever it will become. And you know, some of the thoughts that go through my mind, and I'm sure they all go through your mind, and you've had a whole bunch of people around you talking about it as well. You can see this kind of concept really taking off, and maybe a company like Colgate, they start having branded toothbrushes with Owen or the Mouth Monster. Is the Mouth Monster an actual monster? I saw a photo of you with a purple monster.
So that is our toothbrushing puppet. That we have at KidSmile. I don't know, it's a little bit tricky to see on the front cover. There's yeah. our little green mouth monster. A little green mouth monster there. And yes, they do feature within the book. So yes, you might see them out and about in the not too distant future too.
I love it. But there are so many ways that it can go, and it's part of our professional responsibility, as we all know, as dental professionals, to make sure that their education around oral hygiene is effective. And with adults, it's one thing. They can reason, okay, I don't want that outcome, and so I better do the hard work now. Mm. And they've gone through part of their adult life shifting and changing and adopting new good habits, and so they're down that journey. But little kids are wildly different and they haven't had that level of experience. They don't have that level of competence around it. And so the reframing of that message is just so compelling. And to put it in a story, a fantasy story, this is what they do. This is what they do online. All their games are around this fantasy world, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, yes, and trying to catch on to that that idea that it's not just the boring, it's not the everyday, the routine, that if we don't brush, there could be all sorts of consequences, not just all around health, but you never know what's going to happen if you're not going to brush your teeth. So,
yeah, I love it. Conquering health, I love it.
Absolutely.
With the publishing of it and you're handing that book over to friends, family, colleagues, strangers, within yourself too, I can imagine that there would be that element of self. I'm picturing myself writing a book and then giving it out to people and having, please don't criticize it. You know, please love this book as much as I love it. Please honor the process. How has that been for you?
Yeah, a bit daunting, absolutely. And it was a surreal moment when my first few copies arrived at the post office and I had to go and pick them up and they're in their little brown box and digging them out for the first time and actually holding it in my hand as a real life thing was a very strange moment. I feel like the process itself, like I said, it took a long time, but it still didn't really feel real in a sense. Like I thought, surely nobody's going to want to publish a book that I've written. Surely nobody's going to want to buy a book that talks about oral health. But here it is. It's a thing. And as you said, it's starting to make its way out into the public. So, yes, it's very exciting and a little stressful and daunting all at the same time.
And if it had only taken you a week to write it, it wouldn't have felt that big.
I don't think so.
It's so worth it, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all about the journey. I mean, obviously, getting there and having it in my hand is also wonderful, but it's all about the journey. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, I don't know why it's going on a bit of a spiritual bent here, but as you were saying, it didn't quite feel real. I remember that feeling when I bought my dental practice. So I was a dental nurse and receptionist for years and was the first non-dentist to buy a practice in Australia. And I still remember standing there in the waiting room, you know, I'd bought an existing dental practice after we'd signed all the papers and the lawyer had left and the previous owner had left and I was standing there by myself thinking, this doesn't even feel real. I'm actually inside somebody else's world right now. I'm not quite sure how to make this tangible for myself. But maybe that's part of, you know, you've had the same feeling when you had the book in your hands for the first time. This doesn't feel quite real. Maybe that's part of stepping outside of kind of a current identity because now you're an author. And so
that's true. That's true.
You'll likely feel more real to you.
Fingers crossed.
Well, I hope that this episode goes far and wide and really encourages dental practices to use this as a fantastic resource to really help the kids. It's a pain in the neck for parents to have to battle with their kids over and again every single day. Have you brushed your teeth? Have you brushed your teeth? And to the parents, and especially to a hygienist parent, it's when they haven't. And to have any kind of help as a parent, you're doing them a huge favour.
Yes. Again, being a parent myself, I know every little bit helps. So, yes, even if it's just sitting in the waiting room with the magazines and they have a flick through it while they're waiting to come in and suggesting that the parents can purchase it if they want to on their way out. I mean, there are lots of options. It's available through, in Australia, it's available through Amazon, Angus and Robertson, Booktopia, The Nile, and some eBay sellers have got it in their bookstores as well. And of course, if you don't want to pay for shipping, you can come in and see us at Kidsmile and grab your copy there. But even if there are people listening or they have family overseas, in New Zealand, they can get it through Mighty Ape. In the UK, there's WH Smith and Bookshop UK. It's even available in Target in the US. So you can get your hands on it wherever you might be.
Fantastic. That is just so awesome. And it's something that I think would be an easy sell, if you like, to families, to parents, because, you know, I'm thinking from a dental practice perspective, because we suggest kids or parents go out and buy their kids electric toothbrushes sometimes just to help with the dexterity until the dexterity kind of kicks in. Mm-hmm. And so we are suggesting aids for them and resources for them to be able to get better at that, this important aspect. And so buying a book, that's a fun thing to do. That's like even a gift that you could give them at Christmas time.
Exactly. And yes, reading it before bed. So reading the book and then going and brushing and flossing our teeth and just reinforcing that idea that this is a routine. And that I think one of the bigger issues with oral health is that it's a non-negotiable. I mean, it's not something that we can not worry about today but maybe do tomorrow. It's really something that needs to be done every day to maintain things and keep things healthy. So it's like putting your seatbelt on in the, like, I know this is a bit extreme, but it's like putting your seatbelt on and being safe in the car, or bathing every day, or washing your hands after you go to the toilet. It's just one of those things that needs to happen. And as I'm sure everybody listening is aware, decay in Australia for our young people is ridiculously high. 60 to 70% will have some form of caries in their mouth. And for a country like ours, it's too high. And as you said earlier, it's setting them up for issues down the track.
That's it. And it's just so important for us to really understand, and this is important for all health practitioners to understand with adults as well, that just because you're saying to the person what they should be doing doesn't mean that that person's engaged in it, has truly understood it, is going to go home and do it. And
no, so absolutely not. Yeah.
Take that responsibility of going, well, how am I going to relate to this particular person to really affect some kind of change? I'm not doing my job if I'm just saying the words.
Yes, yes. And I think having that time in the paediatric centre has really made me more attuned to making sure that each appointment is as specified as possible. So in the back of my mind, when I'm meeting a kid for the first time, I'll be thinking about what's my favourite dinosaur. So when I ask them theirs, we can talk about that. Or what's their favourite Pokemon character? Or do they like Sanrio? Or what video games are they playing? Do we need to talk about Roblox or any of those sorts of things? So I try my best to make sure that it's not just walk in, sit down, open your mouth, get things done. It's about finding out who you are, what you're interested in, building that relationship, getting them comfortable, and then they're more likely to listen to the message that I'm trying to portray.
And the impact on the rest of their health, but even the impact of recognising that there are repercussions, but in a fun yes. way, not in a heavy, heavy way and a threatening way, but there's repercussions to maintaining not just your oral health but other areas of health too. So who knows that knock-on effect in terms of then kind of cleaning up the diet a little bit more and doing a little bit more exercise or the other bits and pieces.
Absolutely.
As well. You know, I don't have children, so my ability to relate to children is very limited. You were reeling off Pokemons and stuff. I've heard of Pokemons, but some of the other things that you were just saying then, I'm really quite out of touch. But I think, again, the industry might have quite a number of practitioners who are like me in the sense that I just tell the children exactly what to do and do the disclosing things because I don't know where else to go with that. And so I think the book can really help you build that greater rapport, sense of rapport with the kids as well.
Absolutely. And I've found in my house nagging is not effective. So trying other options is definitely trying to make things fun is definitely the most effective way because, yeah. as we know, kids learn better when they're having fun as well.
We do too, don't we? When you think about it.
We all do. Yeah.
Yeah, if we went to a training camp on, you know, dental stuff and it was an unpleasant experience and we were being, you know, told how many mistakes we were making and being nagged about it, it would not be fun. We would be resistant to it and we'd put a bit of a wall up. And so it's just recognising human behaviour in a sense as well.
Using that little bit of psychology, as I say to mums and dads a lot, it's all about the delivery, especially for us. When we're trying to do things that might be a little bit trickier, getting some treatment done or even just discussing things that'll happen in the future in terms of like orthodontics or things like that. It's, yeah, making sure that the delivery of the information is exciting, educational and specific to the patient. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, you've done a magnificent job. I was just so delighted, as I said, when I read about you in Bite magazine. And it's a lovely inspiration to a lot of people too, that if you are finding yourself within your work, you're, you know, butting heads with your patients in different ways, or even, you know, team members and the way we move throughout the operation of our day in dental practices, just the power that can be had in or generated in thinking differently, thinking more creatively and innovatively about what's a completely different way I can start to try to achieve better outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, like we get very focused, we get our blinkers on. All we want to look at is teeth. All we want to talk about is teeth. But obviously, it's the whole person. And as you said, it's not just kids. Obviously, they respond better when you're talking to them about fun things or saying silly words like vacuum cleaner or tooth boogers or whatever it may be. But yes, it's all about figuring out what makes this person tick and how you're going to get into their head and help them to get those behaviours back on track.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I really do encourage dental practices out there to buy this book and have several of them on site and start encouraging them as a resource for your dental patients. Have them in the waiting room, suggest them, you know, buy a form of advice to get this resource for certain kids. Make it so it's obvious that it's going to be the parents' life that's also going to be made a bit easier as well.
But absolutely.
When you do things like going to the local expo for your area and how some places have community days where everyone has a stand, have mm-hmm. them at the stand, it can really bring people through that area. You'll just start achieving greater success of compliance with kids and seeing the actual results in their mouth. It's wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, it makes my day when I have seen a patient, especially because obviously being a pediatric dentist, we don't generally see the regular fit, healthy, compliant kids. We get the kids that are a bit nervous, that may even be phobic. We have our special needs kids, our medically compromised kids. So when we see them back and there's an improvement in their oral health or something that I've suggested has worked really well, it makes my day. That's the one of the big reasons that I just keep going back.
Absolutely fantastic. I love it, I love it, I love it. Well, thank you for your passion. Thank you for your innovation and thank you for the book. It's going to make a big difference to a lot of people's lives and it's going to make communication with our kids in the dental situation far more easy.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, then I encourage you to head over to Amina and my website, dentalbusinessmastery.com.au. You will find all the information that you need if you would like to gain our assistance in helping you and your team achieve great success. We've got online courses, consulting programs, the club membership. We also have a whole bunch of tools and resources that are available for free that will help you achieve your practice goals. If you would like to find out more, you can also email us directly at info@dentalbusinessmastery.com.au. Thanks so much for listening.